Welcome to the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast presented by the Chiefs Focus Network. Where you talks about the NFL from end zone to end zone and all 100 yards in between. Without further ado, here's you.
Listening on. Yo, what it do? This is the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast, where I'm talking about the NFL from end zone and all 100 yards in between. My name. Yeah, I am. My name is you.
Detective, you? Not you. You. Who? You. Who?
That's the letter, not the word. And I'm your host. What it do? What it do? What it do? This is the 100 Yard Dash, and you can find this podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. This season, Chiefs Focus, who I'm with, is doing something new, and I've said it last two shows, but I will keep reminding you, by putting their podcast under one umbrella. So instead of going to your whatever podcast host that it is, Lisman, Google Podcast, Stitcher, whatever, instead of going to search for 100 Yard Dash, which you can do that as well, it'd be easier to search for Chiefs Focus. And my episodes are under the Chiefs Focus umbrella. So if you would just subscribe to the Chiefs Focus podcast, then you will get my notifications whenever I am on or whenever I have recorded, and you'll know when to find me, where to find me, all that good stuff. I do this thing about once a week, normally Wednesdays. Sometimes I do it earlier, sometimes I do it later in the week. But like I said, those notifications come in handy at that point. You can set them up, and then you know when I'm on. You can join me and interact with me live by joining the StreamYard stream, the Chiefs Focus Twitch stream, or you can hit up the Chiefs Focus YouTube page and, of course, like and subscribe, all that good jazz. Again, thank you for listening. Let's keep it moving. So a quick rundown of the show. Normally I have three segments. First is the news. Second is the week, the recap of the week. And then, of course, it's the closing. That's going to continue to be the theme of this show right now. Nothing's going to change after that. So I guess we can get right on into it. That's normally the breaking news alert, but it's not breaking news, but it's news nonetheless. Flex alert. Monday, it was announced the game between the Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on October 15th has been moved to 4:25 Eastern time. So with that being said, it's the first flexible schedule. It's the first flexible scheduling move of the 2023 season, and it puts the 2-3-1 teams into a time slot that will reach more of the country, tweeted NFL's Tom Pelissero. So basically all they're doing is making sure this game gets eyes. I think the Bucs are much better than a lot of people thought they would be at this point in the season. And so were the Lions. People expected the Lions to be pretty decent, win that division possibly. But, now it puts those two in a more advantageous time slot. Make sure they get as many eyes on that game as they possibly can, because you know the NFL is all about that money. And when you get eyes on the game, you get a little bit of money. Let's keep it moving. The NFL and NFLPA agreed to a revised policy, as first reported by CBS's Jonathan Jones. Under the new rules, players found to have bet on NFL games not involving their own team will be subject to indefinite suspensions of at least 1 year. These are the highlights. Players who bet on games involving their club will be subject to a ban of at least 2 years. The new policy also includes lifetime bans for players who found culpable of actual or attempted match fixing. 1 year suspensions are also in place for players who provide inside information for NFL related bets. I'm interested in that one because that one's, I don't know how I feel about that. It should happen. It's fine. It needs to be something there, but I don't know. It hits me a little bit different, and I'm fine with it though. Don't get me wrong. I am fine with it. 1 year suspension for people giving insider information related to bets, and that's kind of what happens with the gambling scene. I'm not getting into the gambling scene. I'm not in that. I don't want to be in that. That's why you don't see me talk about overs and unders. I want to learn overs and unders, but I'm not here to encourage you or help you go gambling. So that's just me, whatever. Next, the Rams agreed to an extension with Tyler Higbee, 3 years, up to $30.5 million, $17 million guaranteed. So there we go on that. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the show. Oh, that's weak. Keep it moving. All right. First of all, I want to talk about my weekly MVP. Let's talk about my weekly MVP. A.J. Brown, 9 catches, 175 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, and, of course, he had 4 receptions of 15-plus yards. So A.J. Brown deserves my MVP of the week, most valuable player. Now, I could have given it to a lot of people. I think there was a lot of good football out there in week 4. But A.J. Brown deserved what I believe to be my MVP. So we keep it moving. Where was I going to start? Let's start at the Thursday night football matchup. The Thursday night was the Packers taking on the Lions, and I switched this around on accident, but the Packers hosted the Lions. So this is at Lambeau Field, and Lions come up with this win. They come up with this win, 34-20. Look, Dan Campbell feeling a little bold about himself after this win over a division rival. Look, I like that Dan Campbell. I like Dan Campbell a lot. But the stuff that he says endears him to the public. Listen, he had a quote, "If you're hunting us, you won't have to look too far. You won't have to look far. We're going to be on your front porch when you open the door." Let's get something straight here. Let's get something straight. They ain't done nothing. And I said they ain't done a thing to be hunted for. Okay. You had a winning season last year, no playoffs. You beat a division foe in their house. But in my opinion, let's focus on winning the division first before you go and try to claim that you're being the hunted. Okay. The Lions have never won the NFC North. And their last division title came in 1993, and that was the NFC Central. So they've never won a division North. Listen, in 1993, the last song, the "I Will Always Love You" by Whitney Houston was the number one on the charts. Jurassic Park was the number one highest grossing movie of that year, 1993. It might be their year because Jurassic Park is back out again. But anyway, I like the quote. I like the quote, but Dan, time to settle down a little bit. Just a little bit. The Packers. I don't know, man. They're trying to find their way. They put David Bakhtiari on IR. This game, yeah. I'm not sure that LaFleur is a good coach. When he came into the league and he had an accomplished field general like Aaron Rodgers, life is a lot easier for you as the head coach than normal teams that fire their head coach. I can't tell you if he's a great coach or not, but I think this season is going to tell us a lot. Not because of the inability of Jordan Love, but more of the coaching up of Jordan Love by, I just forgot his name, LaFleur. By LaFleur. Thank you. We keep it moving. Excuse me for a second. I gotta wet the whistle a little bit. Forgot my water. Now I got it. So we're good. We're good. We keep it moving. The Atlanta Falcons lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars 23-7, takes both clubs to 2-2. The Jags win this game, but I feel like they have been up and down team so far. Most people thought they had turned a corner in the last 7 or 8 games last season, including your boy. And that includes the playoffs. And the thing about it is they got a little time to figure it out. Again, this game was in London. They got a little time to figure it out. I trust Doug to get it handled. But they've been a little up and down. Trevor Lawrence has not developed to the level that I expected. It's not as much development there as I was hoping for. But, like I said, I trust Doug to get it handled. I'm a Doug Peterson apologist, so self-proclaimed. But I'm not planning on talking much about the Atlanta Falcons because they weren't good. We knew that they were going to end up falling off at some point. Now, Desmond Ridder does not look good. And I had decent hopes for Ridder. I had decent hopes. I didn't think Arthur Smith was going to be a pass first guy anyway. He just was the offensive coordinator for Ryan Tannehill, who is not that dynamic to begin with. All right. So I thought Desmond Ridder could be his Ryan Tannehill. I don't know if he can. Arthur Smith wanted a good run game and a decent defense. That's why they've been going for all these defensive players in low-value trades. But this ain't good. This ain't good. Desmond Ridder has not evolved like he should be. So there's nothing to write home about, so I ain't going to write home about it. Let's keep it moving. The Baltimore Ravens beat up on the Cleveland Browns. Again, this is the division foe. Division alert. Baltimore Ravens are 3-1. Cleveland Browns are 2-2. Baltimore Ravens score 28. The Browns score 3. Bateman and Beckham were out. Deshaun Watson was listed as questionable with a shoulder injury. Mark Andrews currently, of course, balling, 2 touchdowns, and the Ravens roll. So I still don't think the Ravens are looking as beast mode as they thought they would, but, you know, it is what it is. Cleveland's bye week is next week. which we'll start having bye-week alerts just so you know who's off and who isn't. Cleveland's bye-week is next week, and it couldn't have come at a better time for them. They probably should have just kept Joshua Dobbs instead of trading him to the Arizona Cardinals. But because Joshua Dobbs is balling down there. But then again, let's think about it in this way. Josh Dobbs is doing his best down in Arizona, probably because of coaching. I don't see much Cleveland Browns coaching up of Josh Dobbs in this situation. So they probably should have kept him, but it probably wouldn't have done him no good anyway. So let's keep it moving. The Cincinnati Bengals get beat up by the Tennessee Titans in a 27-3 battle. Cincinnati's 3, Tennessee got 27. The Bengals are 1-3. The Titans are 2-2. Chase is peeved.
I'm open. I'm always fucking open. Excuse my profanity. I'm sorry.
Excuse the profanity. He's sorry. But he ain't happy. That brother is not happy. Look, man, as a Chiefs fan, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this. I'm not hating on it. I'm not going to be upset about it. But look, Chase is not happy. They're not a good team right now. This win, that last win that they had before this, was because of defense. Then they get here, they can't even score a touchdown. And Tennessee Titans put it on them. Like, put it on them. They got defensive sacks. They got sacks and pressures like Shoney's back in the day handing out candy. Look, if y'all remember Shoney's, they had a big cardboard box with the hole in it, and you put your hand in the hole with the lollipops in it. Yeah, anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, they was handing out sacks like lollipops to Shoney's. The Titans, they get off the snide as they beat the Bengals 27-3. The Titans, when their defense turns it on, they look like they could be one of the better teams in the league as far as defense is concerned. That defensive line gets going, and then they start bruising people up front. So we'll see how Cincinnati decides to get off of it, because I definitely think they should ice Joe Burrow, because something ain't right. There was an injury during training camp, and he hasn't been right ever since, in my opinion. So they should shut him down past his will and make him rest. We need you now. We don't need you. We need you now, but this is a long-term thing. Who knows how far down the road this is going to affect you. So we could, what's the saying? A stitch in time saves nine. This might be one of those situations. So we keep it moving. The Denver Broncos beat the Chicago Bears in the battle of the winless teams. Like, honestly, as a Chiefs fan, I didn't want either of these teams to win. As the Broncos, I didn't want them to win. But I don't care about the Bears. But the battle of the zeros, both teams have not won a game up to this point. Wilson played well. Sutton played well. The guy I wanted to talk about on defense for the Broncos, though, is Nick Benito, the top rookie performer in this game. He recorded 2.5 sacks, rookie edge rusher. So I am shocked that Nick Benito, he recorded 2.5 sacks. But again, the Bears are not good on any level, imaginable. So it is what it is. We keep it moving. Let's go to this Los Angeles Rams-Indianapolis Colts overtime game. Anthony Richardson, he cleared concussion protocol. He played in week four. I didn't think he would, but he played in week four. Matthew Stafford, 27 of 40 for 319 yards, one interception. Puka Nacua, who burst on the scenes last year. I mean, I said last year, last week, broke the record for most receptions, 31 in a player's first four NFL games, and he got his first TD reception of his career. The Rams can run the ball too. Who knew? Who knew? Williams carried the ball 25 times for 103 yards rushing and two rushing touchdowns. Indianapolis, you know, they've been balling. Indianapolis is much better than I actually thought they would be this season. I keep forgetting the kid's name. Anthony Richardson got drafted over there. And I keep getting Anthony Richardson and C.J. Stroud mixed up. C.J. Stroud's in Texas. Anthony Richardson's with the Colts. And looks like they're rolling, man. But, you know, this one fell on them, 23-29. It is what it is. I'm rooting for the Colts, though. They got a good, fun team, I think. You know what? That's all I got for that game. We keep it moving. The Miami Dolphins get mollywopped by the Buffalo Bills. This was DeMar Hamlin's first game back since his collapse on the field. We're absolutely glad to see that. Absolutely. You know what? Why not give the applause for that one? But many thought Buffalo would go away. I don't know what makes people think these things, but I ain't going to lie to you. I definitely thought they were going to hit a rocky road, and I definitely still think it's coming, but they ain't going away. They ain't going away. They have a 3-1 record, and the one that they lost was a really bad loss. Very bad. But that could still end up being the case, but not in this head-to-head AFC East battle. Allen passed over 300. They did what they expected to do. Little brother beat up on big, or big brother beat up on little brother. There we go. And that's going to keep happening. That's going to keep happening. At some point, you know, little brother get his licks in, but it's mostly going to be big brother whooping up on little brother most of the time. So, Devin, real quickly, for the Miami Dolphins, Devon Akane, with another great performance on the ground, had 101 yards on 8 carries. The Dolphins' offense could be great. I don't know what's holding them back from being great every week, but, you know, sometimes you just face tougher opponents than your skill level has for you. You know what I mean? Sometimes that's the case. But anyway, Dolphins lose to the Bills. Bills score 48. Dolphins score 20. Both teams are 3-1. Let's keep it moving. The Minnesota Vikings. They beat the Carolina Panthers 21-13. Takes the Vikings to 1-3. Takes the Panthers to 0-4. The Vikings score 21. The Panthers score 13. With this one, the Panthers led 13-7 at halftime. They had 2 field goals and a Sam Franklin pick 6. Here's my thing with the Panthers. Obviously, they don't have it together yet. They don't. And with the guy who came, I didn't write this down. This is off the cuff. This part is off the cuff. But with Frank Reich, I expected a little bit more from the guy that they picked up in the draft as the number one pick. I expected more a little bit earlier than this. in a division that was supposed to be winnable for you. The NFC South with the Saints and the Bucks and the Falcons. But here you are. Here you are, 0-4. I'm sorry, 0-4. In a division with the Saints, in a division with the Bucks, who I think are 2-2. I can't remember if I saw that or not, but we keep it moving. But then again, you play Justin Jefferson. He ended up with 6 catches, 2 touchdowns. Looks like he's locked in. But again, he's locked in. But how much is his locked in? Locking in really got him. The Vikings are 1-3. Great. But we keep it moving. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Houston Texans. Houston Texans scored 30. Steelers score 6. Both teams are 2-2. I don't know what to say about this game. C.J. Stroud is that dude. He is the first rookie since the 1970 merger with 250 yards passing, 2 passing touchdowns, and 0 interceptions in 3 straight games. C.J. Stroud is absolutely impressive. I knew he would be decent, but I didn't think he'd be good, this good this soon. I did not expect that at all. Sounds like he's a great teammate, a great leader. They love him down there in Houston. They kind of deserve it after what they've been through with certain other people who will not be named by me. So, Kenny Pickett, he leaves the game with a knee injury. So, there's that. I don't know what to say about that. I don't know what to say about that, but tough break for the Pittsburgh Steelers. At some point, you think their defense got to show up. At some point, right? It's coming, but it's been slow starts for the Steelers recently. So I don't know what to say about the Steelers. A lot of people think that certain people got to be good for the NFL to be the best that it can be. And I do think that the NFL is a little bit better when the Steelers are good. I can't give you a reason why that is, but I feel like they are. And seeing them go through this rough patch, as it were, offensively, defensively, is not good. Not good, especially to a Houston Texans team with a rookie quarterback and so many new pieces on the team. It's not that good to me, but we keep it moving. Next game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the New Orleans Saints in a division game alert. I thought the Saints would be the team in this division. And the reason I thought they would be the team in this division is because they have the veterans on their team. And here's the thing about veterans. They know the game. It's my daughter. The veterans know the game. And so the idea is that, yeah, it takes a little bit more for them to get things together because technically in football terms, they're old, okay? However, they should be able to get it together quicker because they know tricks of the trade. You know, they don't have to be in training camp because they've been through all that stuff. I thought they would be better with another year under Dennis Allen. The Bucs said, hold up. No, bro. Baker Mayfield for the Bucs is getting it going. And I think that's because y'all counted him out. Y'all sent him he went to the Bucs for like $1 million, something like that. He's down there in no man's land. No man's land. The depths, as it were. Like, you say, how's it the depths? The Buccaneers just won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Yeah, what they got now. Yeah, y'all wasn't thinking about that at the beginning of the season. When Tom Brady left, we saw what happened. It didn't look good for them. But here they are with Baker Mayfield getting it going. He's eighth in completion percentage, and he's seventh in passing touchdowns. Dude is balling, and I think, like I said, I think it's because guys like him always need somebody that doesn't believe in him to, in an effort to, for him to prove them wrong. He did it in college, Texas Tech. He got, I don't know if I'm not, I'm trying to think. He got benched for Patrick Mahomes, had to go to Oklahoma. And of course, you know, his stint there, he basically was all over the place. You know, people counted him out. So he did all these antics and was able to eventually win the Heisman, if I'm not mistaken, and then get picked number one overall. But now he's not been good since that pick number one. And then the Browns went and got Deshaun Watson because they felt they needed another guy, to a better guy. And I don't know if it hasn't really worked out for the Browns as well as they thought it would, in my opinion. But, hey, whatever. Baker Mayfield looks like he's balling with the chips, or with all the chips against him. So, hey, keep balling, Baker Mayfield. Keep balling. Let's keep it moving. The Commanders lose to the Eagles in overtime. 34. Eagles score 34. Commanders score 31. Washington is 2-2. Philadelphia, the Eagles are 4-0. Tell me this. Let's talk. This is something we need to talk about. At the end of the game, why wouldn't the Commanders go for two after the touchdown at the end of regulation? Howell was cooking. Not only was he cooking, he was a one-man show. He was serving them up, too. There are so many reasons why you go for the win in that situation. This is a division rival. This is the reigning NFC champions. For me, the juice is worth the squeeze here. This is one of those things that Mahomes used to be upset about with Eric Bieniemy, not being aggressive enough. Eric Bieniemy always was, oh, there's time, you know, relax, you know, we got this or whatever, whatever. Nah, man, sometimes it pays to be aggressive. Be aggressive. Be aggressive. And Ron Rivera on why he didn't go for the two-point conversion. I don't have the video clip. I wanted it, but I didn't get it. Those guys were gassed. They really were. It was a long A drive. They were hurrying. They were hustling. I really thought we had a chance, and that's too bad. End quote, Rivera said. This is why Eric Bieniemy was coaching them hard in the during training camp. And I ain't going to sit here and tell you that it's easy to do. It ain't. But these are times you live for, really, as a football player. You want to win the game. You want to take this team out. This is, and I cannot stress to you enough, this is a division rival. This is the team that went to the Super Bowl last year. Putting a loss on their record from a division rival who is actually not nearly as bad as I thought they would be. Okay. I'm not saying that the Commanders are going to be better than the Eagles, but what I am saying is that this could be a loss on their record, and you never know what could happen as far as that's concerned. That loss could take them out of that number one spot. Put you in the playoffs, Washington. To me, it was just stupid for you to – I was tweeting it in the game. Why would you kick the extra point? Why? Why wouldn't you go for it? Sam Howell was cooking. Still makes me mad. And I think – and I've talked to my boy about this. I think Ron Rivera is a bad coach. I do think he's a bad head coach. I think he has – decent times where he's a decent coach, but I think overall he's not that great of a coach. And if he doesn't have dynamic, out of this world talent like Cam Newton, you won't see much of him. And with games like this, I don't know if he's going to be the head coach for the Washington Commanders for too much longer. I think we'll keep it moving. The Raiders, the Chargers, Jimmy G's out. Aiden O'Connell's first career touchdown, but it don't matter. Aiden O'Connell was sacked a lot by one person. Look, I didn't think anything. I didn't think I didn't think this was a good pickup by the Chargers on any level, okay? I didn't think it was a good pickup by the Chargers at all. Trading for Khalil Mack from the Chicago Bears, trading for him, paying him what they were paying him, finishing off his contract. I didn't think it was a good idea. It was a stupid idea, in my opinion. But it paid off this game, and this game was against a division rival. So it's a division alert. Khalil Mack, 6 sacks, beast mode. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you up against. 6 sacks is a lot of sacks, especially by one person. It's bad down there in Raiderville. I don't know. I don't think they're tanking because I don't think if it's me, if I'm the owner of that team, yeah, I'm not as rich as most owners, and I don't have the money to pay Josh McDaniels and another head coach, but you better get the credit or something. Something. Like, here's my concept. Here's my concept for the Raiders and the thing about firing McDaniels. You get another QB in here. Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't the answer to begin with, and we all knew that. Jimmy G probably knew it, but who's going to say no to a payday, right? So if Josh McDaniels is not a good coach, you don't want him coaching up your next guy. I don't. If I'm the owner, I don't want him coaching up my next guy, because then if I don't believe in the guy before him anymore enough to fire him, and that means that the new kid who's coming in, is probably going to learn bad habits. And I don't want him to learn those bad habits. I want to set him up the best way I possibly can, because this is not just, you don't just have money involved. You have draft picks, draft capital, all this kind of stuff involved. And you want to win because winning brings in money. Yeah, you got money coming as an NFL owner, but winning brings in money. That's how you could get it. And with Josh McDaniels, I don't know why I keep forgetting his name, but with Josh McDaniels, I can't set my rookie quarterback up to fail. And you probably will be getting a rookie quarterback next season. I don't think Aiden O'Connell is the guy. Some people actually think the Raiders are tanking for Caleb Williams, because I do think the Caleb Williams tank is on, although it's not even really known whether he'll actually come out of college or not, out of USC. But putting yourself in the best position is putting yourself in the best position and see where the chips fall. But the Raiders are bad, and the Chargers kept them bad. So we keep it moving. The Arizona Cardinals put up a good fight. Put up a good fight against the San Francisco 49ers. score doesn't say it, but they did put up a good fight. The 49ers score 35. The Cardinals score 16. Takes the Cardinals to 1-3. Takes the 49ers to 4-0. The only undefeated teams, if I'm not mistaken, are the 49ers and the Eagles. Sound looks like it's going to be a almost a quarter of a way through the season. As of right now, it looks like it's going to be another clash in the NFC Championship between the Eagles and the 49ers. A lot of football left to play before the playoffs, but, bro, this looks like it's going to be a battle to the finish for the 49ers and the Eagles. Now, for the Cardinals, I ain't one for moral victories. Moral victories are for losers. No one talks about moral victories when you actually won the game. But it does seem as though Jonathan Gannon isn't either. Arizona's not laying down for y'all. They've been throwing punches. They've been getting a couple of them to land. They are fighting to the death, and I got to respect that. Got to respect that. Got to love it. They were outmatched by San Francisco, period. And they were never going to beat them unless it's just one of those any given Sunday type of situations. But they have been throwing haymakers, and they've been trying to get it done. And I can't be upset at them. But the 49ers look like the strongest team in the NFC at this point. They just do. They're always scoring points. They're not the only 4-0 team, but they kind of look almost indestructible right now. We know that's not true. We know the hammer will drop at some point because they ain't going undefeated. But, hey, they look overwhelming right now. Let's keep it moving. The New England Patriots lose to the Dallas Cowboys in epic fashion. Takes the Patriots to 1-3 and the Cowboys to 3-1. Cowboys left tackle Tyron Smith was ruled out for Sunday. Mac Jones got benched. This was a bad showing. This was a bad showing. Let me talk about this. And this is about the Patriots. Don Shula holds the record for most wins at 347. Bill Belichick, 330. That's how many wins Bill Belichick has, 330. A win difference of 17. We've all heard that Bill Belichick is under the hot seat. Words I don't know if I thought I'd ever say or thought I even ever have to say. Robert Kraft likes winning. I don't know if you notice, he hasn't done much winning since Brady's left. If Belichick got canned, let's say he got fired today, or because I don't think he's going to be a firing because Robert Kraft and Belichick have mutual respect for each other. So I think it'll be like a amicable parting of ways, or Bill Belichick retires. If they part ways right now, does Bill Belichick get the opportunity to break Don Shula's record for most wins by going to another team? I talked to a partner of mine about this, Reggie. Shout out to you, my brother. 17 wins is a lot, bro. 17 wins is a lot, believe it or not. It has taken the Bears 3 seasons to win 17 games. 3 seasons. Bill Belichick is 71 years old. Look, he one of the older coaches in the NFL. I don't know if he's the oldest. I can't remember who's oldest. I think it was Pete Carroll. But he also ain't no Pete Carroll. Look, it's difficult to leave someplace you've been for 2 years. Bill's been there up in the New England area for over 20 years. I highly doubt that he's ready to move somewhere and build from the bottom, because at the end of the day, you're probably going to be building from the bottom. Building from the bottom. And do I think somebody that a team like the, let me think of a team. Let's say the Washington Commanders, because I don't think that Ron Rivera will keep his job at the end of the year. Let's say the Washington Commanders. Do I think that they'll be viable in the next 2 years, 3 years? No. Even with Bill Belichick, I don't think so. But even still, somebody said, Reggie said to me, that some team that's just missing the playoffs and trying to get over the hump, and you hire Bill Belichick for 3 years. Does Bill Belichick have 3 years left in him? Sometimes it looks like the game is passing by a little bit. Sometimes it feels that way. I highly doubt he's ready to move somewhere and build from the bottom. And even if he did, how many years do you really expect to give the man? You ain't going to give him more than four. And if y'all ain't winning, you ain't going to get, if y'all, and most teams that he would get hired by probably ain't winning eight games unless he's that great of a coach, which is debatable by a lot. I know he's the most winning coach of all time, the quickest to this and that, but, you know, it's a different day and age than it used to be. Different day and age than it used to be. He hasn't been able to identify the offensive side of the ball. They're currently 17th this year in overall offense. But 2022, they were 26th. They ended the season at 26th. 2021, they were in the middle of the pack. 2020, they were 26th overall offense. Yeah, that has a lot to do with who they chose to be their quarterback. But that was his choice. Look, just think about it. Does Bill Belichick have the chance to break that record? Hit me in the comments. Hit me on X, Twitter, whatever. I-M-U-I-N-K-C on X. If Bill Belichick got Cam right now, does he get the chance to break Don Shula's record for most wins by going to a different team? You let me know. We'll talk about it. We keep it moving. The Chiefs beat the new squeak out a win. Let's say it. They squeak out a win against the New York Jets. 23-20. 3-1. 3-1, the Chiefs are. The Jets are 1-3. So Mahomes did not have the greatest offensive game at all. He scored, I mean, he did like 200 yards and one touchdown, two interceptions. The defense absolutely carried the team. Stephen A. says the receivers are holding back the offense and could derail a Super Bowl run, which I don't disagree. But Andy Reid is not one to rush to make hasty decisions like that. You know, he lets things cook. I.e. Javarius Ward. Javarius Ward lost. I don't want to say he lost us, but there was a game that he was in 2017 or 18, and it was versus the San Diego, or the, I don't know if they were San Diego at the time, but Los Angeles Chargers at the time, I guess. And we lost that game. We ended up losing that game, but Javarius Ward ended up having game time. He was ready for the postseason after that, you know, and sometimes it's easier or better to sacrifice a regular season win in an effort to gain the bigger goal. And those are things Andy Reid thinks about. And I've noticed he thought about it when he got to Kansas City. I know he thought about it in the Eagles too, but I wasn't able to recognize it at that moment, but I noticed it here. The Jets, they were down to 20-0. The defense was in working. They were ready to go. They actually were up for the challenge. I thought they were shell-shocked at first, but then they got that first interception, and then they went to work. They like, we can get back in this. Pat just threw the ball to an open defender. He threw the ball to an open defender, and that just gave them hope. That turned, I almost called that man Josh Allen. That made Zach Wilson get more confidence as well. So, I don't know, man. It was not Pat's greatest game at all on any level, but the defense. Oh, Jets, by the by, it was a hold. I don't care. I'm not here for the banter. They said it was a hold. They keep saying it was a hold. It is what it is. I'm out on that. Yeah, the receivers for the Chiefs got to figure it out. They have to. It's not good. It's not good right now, and they got to figure it out. They got to figure it out. This is bad. But we keep it moving. Last game, Monday Night Football. The Giants lose in epic fashion to the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks are 3-1. The Giants are 1-3. I told you. And I'm not, and believe it or not, I'm not one that loves to say I told you. But bro, signing Daniel Jones to a long-term contract was an errand of fools. Y'all don't have a team to compete in your own division. You didn't have a team to compete in your own division, which is the NFC East. Two juggernauts there. The Cowboys, who have a better defense this year, and the Eagles, who were NFC champions last year. Y'all ain't got it. New York, what are you doing? Like, I didn't think it was a bad idea for Brian Daboll to go there. I didn't think that at all. I actually think it's a good idea. I thought he would talk some sense into him. I thought, hey, they win with Daniel Jones. They go out and get the guy that they really want and have Daboll coach him up with my boy, the offensive coordinator, whose name is escaping me, came from the Chiefs as their passing game coordinator. But, I thought that if you could turn Daniel Jones around, you could also go grab a rookie and build him from the ground up. But you also save so much cap space doing that. And I get it. They were in the mid-20s. Or no, they weren't in the mid-20s. They were like 21st, 22nd pick. You got to identify your guy. You got to go get him. Whoever it may be. You got the coach. You got the offensive head coach to do it. And you got the offensive coordinator to do it. Daniel Jones is never going to be the answer. And especially in a division where you got Jalen Hurts, who took a step forward. Dak Prescott looks like he's taking a step forward. And the Commanders, yeah, whatever. But y'all messed up. You messed up. Seattle, 97-yard interception return, touchdown by Devin Weatherspoon. He said he'd been looking at. They saw it on film. Daniel Jones stares down his receivers. New York Giants had the chance to either spend the money or use the resources when it came to the QB position. They chose the former. Now they have the third or fourth best quarterback in the division. Shaking my head. 11 sacks on Daniel Jones. Y'all got work to do in New York, and they ain't going to take this kindly. Nor should they. Y'all made the playoffs last year. Y'all keep looking like this. Y'all could be. Y'all 1-3. I don't know, man. I ain't hating, but I just thought it was an errand of fools. I really did. I thought it was an errand of fools. But, you know, maybe they'll change some stuff around. Maybe they'll get it going again, but I don't see it happening. That's my show. That is the end of the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast. I thank you for listening. My name is you. That's the letter, not the word. Thank you for joining me today. Don't forget to check out the podcast. The 100 Yard Dash Podcast is found on the Chiefs Focus podcast page. Search Chiefs Focus and you'll see episodes of the 100 Yard Dash in there or there. So, again, I appreciate it. Hit me up about that Bill Belichick statement or question, and I'm going to just give you a recap of what the question is. If Bill Belichick, we know he's on the hot seat because there's been plenty of articles around about it. And if you don't know about it, just Google Belichick hot seat. Anyway, if Bill Belichick got canned right now, fired right now, does he get the chance to break Don Shula's record for most wins? Don Shula holds the record at 347. Bill Belichick is at 13. So that's a 17-win difference, which is almost a full season. Seems easy to do, but he's won an average of 8 games every year for the past 3 years. And if he won 8 games, it would take him 3 seasons to actually win. It would take 3 seasons for him to actually break that record. So, not 3 full seasons, but 2 seasons and then maybe a couple games. So, hit me up. I am UINKC on X. If you follow me on Facebook, type it in the comments. This is previously recorded, so I'll definitely get back to you or type or respond to you. But anyway, I thank you for listening. I appreciate everything you're doing for this podcast. The numbers are looking great. Downloads, likes, subscribes are always appreciated. That's all I got. So until next time, until next time, deuces. If I can find the outro.